Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 203, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Whom have I, Lord, in heaven but thee? To whom my thoughts aspire, and having thee on earth is naught that I can yet desire. 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 203.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the fifth book of Moses, thereof Deuteronomy chapter 32. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead, He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 32, beginning with 1 through 21. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of His children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not He thy Father that hath bought thee? Hath He not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy Father, and He will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when He separated the sons of Adam, He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about, He instructed him, He kept him as the apple of His eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And He made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock. Butter of kine, and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs, and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats, with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art growing thick, thou art covered with fatness, when he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, not to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee thou art unmindful, and thou hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, He abhorred them because of the provoking of His sons and of His daughters. And He said, I will hide my face from them, I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, to whom, as we have heard in these moments, we are to ascribe greatness. For thou art the rock, just and right art thou, and that in all thy ways. But we have corrupted ourselves. We are a perverse and a crooked generation. And that is already in our father Adam. And it continues even to the youngest day of this world, in the hearts of young and old alike. So that there is not one of us that has any true upright desire after thee. Even when we are brought up under thy truth, even when we have a good form and custom to come Sabbath after Sabbath day in thy house of prayer, oh, that thou may bind upon us that awfulness of our own fall, do show us the depth thereof, that we may be given from such a place as we have fallen, to cry out unto thee, our Maker and our Creator. For thou knowest that there is from our side no hope, and there is from our side no expectation. But when thou wilt thyself send forth thy Spirit, then it shall be as thy servant of old did pen, as the heart about to falter in its trembling agony, panteth for the brooks of water, so my soul doth pant for thee. Oh, that there may be also then in the midst of us the evidences of the working of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, then alone thy name can be glorified. And because the angels and the heavenly hosts about thy throne, and they shall rejoice in that day, and that a sinner upon the earth does repent and turn unto thee. But who is able from his own side to raise up a breath and a sigh out of a heart that is dead in sins and in trespasses? O Lord, then we are so dependent upon thee and the working of thy Holy Spirit. O, would it not be to the honor and to the glory of thy name, even in this afternoon hour, when there would be one that may smite upon his breast and that may say, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. O, that thou may bring us in the dust of self-abasement. For thou knowest the iniquity of our hearts, and then everything is open and naked before thee, with whom that we have to do, and we need to be regenerated, to be born again, and we need to be completely renewed, because we are from the crown of our head to the sole of our foot wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. O Lord, we beseech thee then that thou would send forth thy Spirit for the application of the work of thy only begotten Son, whom that we have heard of in the weeks that have gone by, that great work which he has accomplished in great faithfulness unto his Father, that it may be for the bringing forth of a people, that a peculiar people here upon this world. Lord, that thou mayst sanctify and bless thy word to that end in the proclamation of his name, even to the ends of the world. But may we and our children not be left behind. And because great and many shall be the stripes of those that have known the way and have had no desire to walk therein. Oh, that thou may give us a holy jealousy for that people that may say the lot to me that fell is beautiful and fair. Oh, that thou may give a holy jealousy for the portion of that people who may fear thy name in uprightness and in truth. Oh, Lord, then it is thy own work that thou wilt begin and thou wilt also finish, and that thou may look upon each and every one of thy own children. Thou knowest the burning that can be in their own hearts. Oh, by nature there is no burning at all. But when thou wilt come, when thou wilt give a little to experience thy presence, when thou wilt give a little opening in thy holy word, and then thou givest also that heart to burn, as we have heard in this morning hour, and that is already experienced to be a great and indispensable blessing, so that it is longed for often in the life of thy people, that their heart may burn once again, that they may be rid of that awful deadness and coldness that can prevail so often from day to day. But Lord, then more is necessary. Oh, that thou wouldst also reveal thyself. And because there is a people that have no hands to take, and they have no feet to come, though thou dost proffer peace and pardon, O Lord, then they are not able to take it from their own side. And thou dost say, where is your faith? But Lord, then they have to say, Lord, give me faith, and Lord, increase my faith. Oh, that thou wouldst also remember each and every one of them this day. For great is that portion that thou hast laid away for thy church. But every small part of it needs to be given in the life of thy children. Then they need to be led from step to step. Because they are so blind, but thou dost say that thou wilt lead the blind by a way that they do not know. O Lord, we beseech thee, and that so it may be experienced in the midst of us by young and old, and that thou wouldst take by heart and by hand our children and our youth. O Lord, thou knowest how Satan does draw, and in our own hearts they are so inclined to that which is of the time and sense. And then we do not see the beauty that is in thee. But, thou art able to give them to remember their Creator in the days of their youth, before that the evil days draw nigh. Oh, that thou wouldst enlarge their hearts while they are still young, that they may cry to thee also in their own wretchedness and misery. Oh, that they may receive in the days of their youth a secret place before thee, and knees to bend and hands to fold, and that their young bones may be given unto thee in thy service, that they may be kept from much sin in their life. Do remember us as our years do climb, because we know not what a day may bring forth in this world. And then it is experienced when we see it all about us. When those that are sick, but also those that are healthy, dropping away from our sides, from that battle to continue in this life, wherein we read in thy word that there is no discharge in that war. Lord, we also are not able one moment to hold on to our breath, and then it is able to be taken away from us any moment. Oh, Lord, that thou would bind this matter upon our hearts, that we may realize something of the seriousness of what it is to carry a soul in our body and that is destined to a never-ending eternity, and that also this body shall one day rise from the dead, and then we shall enter our eternal home. O Lord, we beseech Thee that Thou wouldst waken us out of our death sleep, that Thou wouldst use Thy Word even in this very day, that Thou wouldst grant new life among us. Wilt Thou give that Thy kingdom may come, and that that which was promised unto Thee, unto Thy dear Son, that Thou wouldst give Him a seed to serve Him, for Jacob is Thine inheritance. O Lord, that it may be fulfilled also among us, that many among us, could it be each and every soul, may be taken by Thee, and may be delivered from that awful darkness, and be brought into Thy marvelous light. Lord, that Thou may look upon young and old. Thou knowest all the trials that are in this life. Thou knowest the thorns and the thistles. Thou knowest all the trials. Thou knowest the sorrows of the hearts, the burdens that are carried. Wilt Thou supply in all the needs and cause that all these ways may give consideration in our minds and hearts of affection to Thee, our Maker and our Creator. Turn us then again, that the broken walls of Zion may be built up again, and that there may be songs also sung, the joy experienced in the heart of Thy children. Look upon all those that suffer for Thy name's sake in the midst of this world in which Satan does go about as a roaring lion and as an angel of light. But many must suffer for Thy name's sake. That Thou would uphold them in the places where that they are and give faithfulness before Thee. And could it please Thee to give also Thy truth, and that it may not be only Thy name, but in a way of deceit that it is brought in this world, so that there will be multitudes that are crying Thy name in that great and notable day, that will be turned away from Thee. Grant that Thy name may be brought in uprightness and in truth. Wilt Thou look upon all that rule and reign over us in the nation in which we dwell, and our sister nation also, the elections that do take place in that country. Lord, we beseech Thee, that Thou would guide it, that Thou would make it well as Thou alone art able. Turn us again as nations unto Thee, the true and the living God. Look upon us then, young and old together. Look on us in this afternoon hour. We are separated for a few moments. Maybe it is a burden to this one or to that one. Lord, Thou can make it so different by the time that we leave this place in this afternoon. Maybe it is with a little desire that we have drawn into the doors of Thy house. Lord, could it please Thee to fulfill it? And wilt Thou do for us what we are not able to do for ourselves? That we may feel Thy presence and Thy nearness, that the power of Thy Spirit may be evidently going forth among us. That we may not be as hard as the benches that we sit upon, but wilt Thou break our hard and stony hearts, to make them contrite. Give us a sigh to sigh, and give us a cry to cry. Forgive Thou and take away our many, many sins, and look upon us in and through Him in whom Thou art well pleased. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 30, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee, O Lord, I fly, and on thy help depend. Thou art my Lord and King most high. Do thou my soul defend. And what follows, we announce the second wedding announcement of Stephen Kopilar and Anissa Busicum, who hope to be united in holy matrimony, the Lord willing, this coming Friday, April 15th at 11 a.m. Lawful objections must be brought to the consistory by Monday, April the 11th. We announce also the funeral for Mr. Hank Dunsbergen will be on Tuesday morning, and the condolences on Monday evening. Psalter number 30, all the stanzas.
Thank you.
beloved congregation, Ben-Hadad said to Ahab, "Thy silver and thy gold is mine. Thy wives and thy children are mine, yea, even the goodliest." That is, he made a claim upon them. What was the basis for his claim? That was might. That was power. He said, "They are mine." Why? Because I am mightier, because I am more powerful than you are. That is a very common thing. Maybe that is also what is happening to you children sometimes in school. And then it is by might, and it is by power. But might is not what we say makes right. The Lord, he has given laws concerning property. That is, the Lord has said, "Thou shalt not steal." And even before that a man is warned about thievery itself, then he is warned about that which is coming before that thievery. That is, that the Lord says also, "Thou shalt not covet." And thus, Ben-Hadad can make a claim upon the goods and the wives and the children of Ahab, but the Lord stood above it. And then we can read of Ahab himself, that he has in that same way, and through wickedness and deceit, taken away the property of Naboth. But Ahab shall be punished. Whose is the property of the world? David says that the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. But what is the foundation of this ownership? Well, David says that also, because he says the Lord has founded it upon the seas, and he has established it upon the floods. Thus he says, the Lord, he has a right to it, not because the Lord has stolen it, but because he has himself established it, because he has made it, because he is the creator. That is, in the first place, how that we may have the right of ownership. But we know there is also another way wherein we may rightly own, and that is through a lawful purchase. And now we can read in God's holy word how that the scripture is speaking about the special property of the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. And we wish, with the Lord's help, to consider something of that with you in this afternoon, out of Lord's Day 13, the 34th question. Lord's Day 13, question 34. Wherefore callest thou him our Lord? Answer, because he hath redeemed us, both soul and body, from all our sins, not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood, and hath delivered us from all the power of the devil, and thus hath made us his own property. So far, our Lord's Day. Christ, our Lord. First, by virtue of the creation, and second, by virtue of redemption. Christ our Lord, first by virtue of creation, and second by virtue of redemption. Thus our fathers, they have been speaking about the names of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember some of those names, boys and girls? Or do you not think anymore about what you have heard in school or in church on Sundays? The names. We have heard of the name of Jesus, that is the personal name, Savior, because He saves His people from their sins. Do you have any need of Him whose name is Jesus? And we have heard of the name of Christ, that is His official name, because He has three offices, prophet, priest, and king. Do we have any need for Him in His official name of Christ, and for Him in all of the offices in which He give Himself to His church? We have heard of the name of Son, blessed name, and the distinction between Him as the Son, the only begotten Son of God, and the sons of God. And now our fathers speak about the name Lord. We know that there is the name Lord, which is in all capital letters in our Bible, which is actually another word. That word is the name Jehovah, that is the name, the blessed name of God, wherein which is referring to His covenant. But this word that our fathers are speaking of, when they are asking, "Wherefore callest thou Him our Lord?" that is not in all capital letters, but only the first letter is a capital. So what is this word? Well, the word Lord, that means owner. That means possessor. So that is referring to something that belongs to someone. And if something belongs to us, then we have a certain right. It is the right of ownership. And then we have a certain power over that thing which is our own, that belongs to us. And we have a certain control over this thing. The apostle says that there be lords many, that is in the world, many lords. What does that mean? That means that the Lord, He has given to men also in this world property. We know that the socialistic and communistic ideals, they would desire to make property belong to the whole community, so that property does not belong anymore to an individual, but it belongs to everyone, in order that they may promote an equality among men. But it is actually a false equality, because men are not equal, because God has not created man equal. Is not man equal? Well, of course, there is a sense in which we are equal. That is, every man is equal before the law. Every man is equal, that is, before justice. Because we read in God's Word that men do not despise a thief if he will satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, then he shall restore fourfold, that is, When that poor man comes before the law, then he is to be treated before the law with justice, the same as a rich man. Thus, there is an equality between all men when we are standing before the law. But that does not mean that there is an equality as men are trying to make men equal in this world. Because certainly, when a man would say, for example, that a man and a woman must be equal, and then it is very obvious foolishness. Because certainly, a man is not equal to a woman. And there are so many differences between men naturally in this world that everyone is not equal. No, we read that God has given to one man more. He has given to another man less. Because the Lord Jesus says, "The poor ye have always with you, and whensoever ye would, ye may do them good." No, man, he is responsible to God. Responsible to God, each one of us, with that which the Lord has given to us in a specific way in this world. Thus hath made us his own property. Thus, they are speaking here about persons being the legal property of someone else. Well, that makes our minds go in a certain direction, doesn't it? For us, of course, coming from the United States, that brings us back to the Confederate States and the Civil War. That brings us back to the slavery issue. What an awful thing. What horrid abuses and that there were in those times. Then we can be so thankful that in our day, such abuses they are not taking place. Although we cannot say this, can we? Because there is indeed a slavery that is not legalized in our countries, but is still taking place in the midst of this place wherein we are dwelling. And yet, though we must say there were very horrid abuses, yet we must also be careful, because there are also ideas which are unbiblical concerning this slavery. Men actually in that time did not belong with their persons to another, but the law only enabled that a person may own the involuntary labor of another person. And that person only may be controlled insofar, according to the law, insofar as the owner thereof may secure those involuntary labors. And this, congregation, is in itself not an unethical thing, because we read in God's word in many places also of the same. And we never read in God's word and that the Lord, he is coming against this. But on the contrary, that the Lord, he is speaking unto those servants, that those servants should be obedient, not to run away, no, but to be obedient unto their masters. And we can read of the apostle when Onesimus has come unto him, and that he has sent him back unto his master of Philemon. And yet now our Lord's day, that speaks about something that is so very different. Because it says, "And thus hath made us his own property. And this now is a far different matter. Because here it is speaking about the actual ownership of a person. What is now that basis of the first right of God upon His creature? That is, that He is the Creator. That He is our Maker. And the fact that He is our Maker makes us His own legal property. So that the Lord has a sole right, that the Lord has a sole authority over us. And that there is not one that is exempt, not a man or a beast in the whole world. There is not an angel, there is not a devil in hell that is not the rightful property of God Himself. The lords of the earth, they may have that right to the involuntary labor of a man. But the Lord of heaven and earth, He has a right to more than this. He has a right not only to our involuntary labor, but He has a right to our voluntary labor. He has a right to our heart. He has a right to our soul. He has a right to our mind. He has a right to our spirit. He has a right to our health. He has a right to our strength. He has a right to our young bones, children, young people. He has a right to our entire person. And yet that is still not. It is still not that which our fathers are directly speaking of in this Lord's Day. When they say, and thus hath made us His own property. Why not? Because they are not speaking about that ownership by virtue of that first right, by virtue of the creation. What then? Wherefore callest thou Him our Lord? Answer, because He hath redeemed us, both soul and body, from all our sins, not with gold or silver, but with His precious blood, and hath delivered us from all the power of the devil, and thus hath made us His own property. Thus, our fathers are speaking about a different right of ownership. And right of ownership which has a different basis. It has a different foundation. It is an ownership by right of redemption. That is our second thought. Redemption. And what is redemption? Well, redemption is a purchase. Redemption is to buy back. Redemption is to liberate. Redemption is to free. So if we will think, children, about the Passover, then you know what happened on that awful night when all the firstborn of the children in Egypt were slain. But what about the firstborn of Israel? They were not slain. No, we heard that just recently, and when that blood that has been placed upon that doorpost, and then the Lord, He has looked upon the blood, and the angel of death has passed over, then that firstborn, he was spared. But what did the Lord say then? Then the Lord said, that firstborn is mine. That firstborn belongs unto me. What does that mean? That means that the firstborn, they would serve the Lord in His tabernacle. That the firstborn would be those who would serve, we would say, in the church. Later on, then the Lord, He has made a change in this. Then the Lord has said, I will take instead the tribe of Levi. So instead of those firstborn, then it was the Levites who had to serve in that tabernacle in the service of the Lord. But what does the Lord say then about those firstborn? Well, then those firstborn, they had to be redeemed. Then there had to be a certain price paid for those firstborn. Then they had to be, as it were, bought back from that service in order that they may go as other children in this world. Redemption, to be bought back, that was the same with the animals. Whatever did open the matrix, the firstborn among the animals, they were also the Lord's, but children. And then we can understand that there were clean animals and that there were also unclean animals. And so the Lord, He would not have an ass, for example, an unclean animal to be presented unto Him, no. But then the ass that had to be redeemed, that firstborn among them, that had to be redeemed with a lamb, redemption, bought back, that it may be for their service again. And if it was not redeemed, then it may not be for their service, but they had to break its neck. They had to kill it. There were also those in that time that were poor. And then it was possible that they would sell themselves to their brethren. And they would sell themselves as a servant. And then they would have to serve them. They would serve them for 6 years until that year of Jubilee, and then they would be let go again. Unless, before that time, they were redeemed. That is, unless there was a near kinsman who would pay their price, their redemption price, and buy them back before that year of Jubilee. Thus, redemption to buy back. And now our answer, and that is speaking about this redemption, that is the redemption of the church of Christ, their buying back. Is that necessary? Why is that so necessary? That church be redeemed, that they be bought back. Well, what do we read? We read in God's Word, God hath made man upright. But man has sought out many inventions. And so we have the sum of that awful fall of man in his covenant had Adam. Redemption. From what? Redemption from his slavery. Redemption from the service of sin. Redemption from the service of the devil, to which he has enslaved himself and from which he is not able to deliver himself, bringing himself in such a great poverty and misery, and that it was necessary and that there be a redemption from another side. From what does man need to be redeemed? Or he needs to be redeemed from the guilt of sin, because it is the guilt of sin which is condemning him before that law of God. Can you just do away with guilt? How is that, young people, children? You know what guilt is. You have a conscience. Do you ever think about this? Guilt. When you have done wrong, and that conscience that is speaking so loudly, then you try to step on it and you try to make it quiet. And what happens? Oh, then it comes back again, doesn't it? And then you can go, young people, to this place or that place, and you can laugh, and you can drink, and you think then it will all go away. And then in the most unexpected times, then it is coming back again and again. Oh, never step upon that speaker that is within your heart. Guilt that cannot just be laughed away. No, guilt. A man needs to be redeemed from that guilt. Paul speaks about the blotting out of the handwriting that was against us, that was contrary to us. What is that handwriting? Well, there is a law. That law that is known in our heart. It is not just even in the Bible. No, in the Bible we have that law of God that He has given on Sinai, but that was not the first time. No, the first time it was written on the heart of man when God created him in paradise. But there is not so much that is left there. But there is something. So that even those who have not this law, they are a law unto themselves, we read. Oh, that law, that is now the handwriting that is against us. Do you ever feel it? Does it ever keep you from sleeping in the night? And then Paul, he speaks about the blotting out of this handwriting that is against us. What is that? That is speaking about the redemption of man from the guilt of his sin. But it is not only from the guilt of sin. No, it is more. Because a man needs to be redeemed also from sin itself. That is now the final end of the Lord. The Lord says He will have a holy nation, that He will have a peculiar people. Therefore our fathers, they say, because He hath redeemed us both soul and body from all our sins and hath delivered us from all the power of the devil. We would say we have here the touchstone of sincerity, what lives in our heart. Yes, we want to be delivered from the guilt because that is not so comfortable as we go over this world. And we want to be delivered from what else? Because if we go to the hospital and we will go from room to room, then there is not one that would not say, well, he desires to be delivered from this sickness, yes. That is, from the consequences of my guilt. But where is now that man, that boy, that girl, that goes on his knees and beseeches the Lord, and that says, O Lord, wilt thou deliver me from my sin? Oh, that I might not sin against thee. That sin has become an evil in your life. That sin is grievous unto you. That sin is a slavery, that you are not able to deliver yourself from it, that you feel the need for this redemption, the deliverance, the buying back from that life, from that heart that is so full of sin, because He hath redeemed us, both soul and body, from all our sins. Because who hath redeemed us? Our children, they can give the answer. You say, the Lord Jesus, that is right. And what a redemption that was. Our fathers, they say here, not of gold or of silver, but with His precious blood. That is now the price. We heard it. We heard it in the weeks that have gone by. That price of His own blood, the price of His own life, that price that has given satisfaction to the Father, that price that has satisfied that justice of God, that ransom that could not be found by a man, that has its foundation in eternity. But we will not speak more of this at this moment, but only to say this. Now this redemption that is making the Lord Jesus Christ Lord over His church in a new way. He is Lord. He was always Lord. Why? Because He is the second person of that divine Trinity. Because He is God Himself. Because He is the Creator. Because He is the Maker of every one of us. And in that sense, He is Lord. But now our fathers, they speak about a different lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a lordship that is belonging in a special manner unto His church. That is a lordship because that He has redeemed them, because that He has purchased them. Thus, it is a lordship that belongs especially to that mediatorial office. And then it is a lordship, we read here, of over the soul and the body. The devils, they have sinned only in their soul because they have no body. The angels, they worship only in the spirit because they have no body. But we have sinned in soul and body. And we have heard that Christ, He has suffered in soul and body. And He has suffered in soul and body in order that He may make that church, both in soul and body, His property. That is not only upon one, but it is upon a double foundation. The foundation both of creation and redemption. Let us sing Psalter 426, 4 and 9. The Lord preserves the meek most tenderly. Brought nigh to death, in Him I found salvation. Come, Thou my soul relieved from agitation, turn to Thy rest. The Lord has favored Thee. 4 and 9 of Psalter 426. and thus hath made us his own property. Congregation, what a blessed, blessed confession. And thus hath made us his own property. What does that mean? That means that Christ, he has a right unto that people. That means that he has a right in the first place before his Father. That he has a legal right unto his church when he is standing before the throne of God. That is a right to demand that church because they are his. Oh, how sure, how firm is the salvation of that church of God. How sure is their regeneration, their justification, their sanctification, their complete redemption, their resurrection from the dead. That is his own bride. He loves her. He says, "Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee." She has become his own. She has become his own property with soul and body. So he says to her, "Fear not. I have redeemed thee. Thou art mine." Oh, is there a comfort? A comfort compared to this comfort in the whole world? Our fathers, the first question of this Lord's Day, they speak about the only comfort in life and in death. And what is that? That I might know that I am not my own, but with body and soul belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, what a comfort. That is a comfort we cannot find elsewhere in this whole world. And why not? Well, children, you have property. And what do you do with your property? Well, you say, "I take care of it." Yes, that is what we do with our property. We protect it in the first place. That is, protect it from things that are without. That it does not get stolen, that it doesn't get harmed. And in the second place, we preserve it. We preserve it from corrupting itself. We take care of it so that it will last and last. Why? We say, "Well, because it is my own." And so this is now the great comfort of that church. As we read it here, "And thus hath made us his own property." So it is so impossible that that church of God should perish. They are under the care, they are under the protection of the Son of God himself. It is heaven and earth that is for their protection. He is able to make the waters of the sea to stand up as a wall, to be a wall of protection for that people and make them to go over on dry ground. Oh, he is able to make the enemy himself to cry out that the Lord fighteth for Israel against us. Oh, the Lord. And when Korah, Dathan, and Abiram did speak against the servant of the Lord, then the Lord is able to make the earth to open and to swallow them up. We can read that there were more Amorites that died of the hailstones than that died by the sword of the children of Israel. The Lord, it is so small thing to him to make the very sun and moon to stand still for the sake of his own people, his own possession. and thus hath made us his own property. O who is able to fathom the greatness of that benefit? Asaph, we sang it this morning. He says, will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? And doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? But then he does reply in a nobler tune. And then he does say, no, it cannot be. He says, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Oh, it cannot be. It cannot be. Why? Because he hath made us his own property. The Lord Jesus himself has said it. That he said, shall not God avenge his own elect? Though they cry day and night unto when they cry day and night unto him, though that he bear long with them, did he forsake Hannah? When she cried unto the Lord, did he not lift her up from as a beggar from that dunghill? Or what do we read of a Saul of Tarsus? And the Lord said, behold, he prayeth. Oh, that was his own property. We can read that Isaiah, he has to go unto a Hezekiah. What does the Lord say? The Lord says, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Yes, because Hezekiah, he belongs to the Lord. That is the very property of the Lord. And thus hath made us his own property. And so the Lord, he says to that people, I will instruct thee, and I will teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. Then he will not leave them to go his own way. And then he will not leave them to destroy himself, themselves. He will preserve them, protect them from their enemies, but also protect them from destroying themselves. Then he will say to a David, thou art the man. And he will not permit David to go on in his sin, but he will bring him in the dust of self-abasement and bring him to a true confession, that he may say himself unto him that he has cast all his sins behind his back and made us his own property. Oh, is there more now, a more comforting knowledge that a man can receive in this whole world than that the Lord has made me his own property? We exhaust ourselves. We exhaust ourselves every day to gain property, to be able to say, this is mine, and more and more and more. Why? Because we want an insurance. Because money is power. And because we want to have for the future, but then we have it all backwards. Then it is not to have property, but that we may now be property. Because when we may be his property, then there is no perishing. And thus that one thing that we need to know is that the Lord may say unto us, and that where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it was said that ye are the sons, that ye are the children of the living God. Is there not good reason that David, he says, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation? Or is not that the blessing that David needed? Is that not the blessing that we need? That is what we need to know. That is what we now need also to feel. And thus he hath made us his own property. And what is now that church owe unto him when they are now his own property? Do they not owe him everything? Do they not owe him their whole soul? Do they not owe him all their will, all their motives, all their strength? Because they are not only his by creation, but they also have become his by a great purchase. Oh, what a controversy rightly has the Lord with his children, when he has so often to say, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Oh, how is it possible that the people are able to leave him alone in his place, and that days without number after such a purpose? We read of Solomon in the last part of his life, that his wives turned away his heart, and that his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. And yet he remained his property. Because from the side of the Lord, then there is no forsaking of his own people. That is now the wonder of his long-suffering grace. That is now the wonder of the foundation of that blessed covenant. Can a woman forget her sucking child? That she would not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, he says. And yet will not I forget? No, it is impossible. He may bring them into captivity, and he may make them to hang their willows, their harps upon the willows. But he will never forsake his church. Oh, why? Why callest thou him our Lord? Because he has redeemed us, and thus made us his own property. Congregation, is he also your Lord? That is the word, that is the title that we use every time. Again, no. We fold our hands and we say, Lord, Lord. But is he our Lord? We have chosen another Lord, have we not? And that Lord we serve, that is the Lord of, that is the Lord Satan himself. This world is our Lord. We are our own lords. That is what Satan tempted Adam with. You will be independent. You will say what is right and wrong. We want to be a lord unto ourselves. We want to do as we please. We want to go where we please. And then we fold our hands and we close our eyes. And we say, Lord. But congregation, those two things, they do not go together. And now the Lord himself, he says, I do see it. He says, these things hast thou done, and I kept silence. And thou thoughtest that I was altogether one such as thyself. But he says, I will reprove thee, and I will set them in order before thine eyes, that is, thy sins. Because I am Lord, because I am your maker, because I am your creator. Does it ever draw us that he has made us? Does it ever grieve us that our back is turned to our Lord? that we can go so easy over this world with not one thought of the Lord. And then not only maker and creator, but also our provider every moment of our life. He is Lord. He is Lord by virtue of our creation. And we owe Him, young people, everything. And not only young people, no, each and every one of us. And what do you do with your things that are yours? And they do no longer serve the purpose for which you have made them. What do you do with them? You throw them away. And you say, I rightly throw it away. Because it is mine. Because I have a right of ownership. And I have a right of control. And it serves me not. And I get rid of it. Oh, my friends. So the Lord will do with us. When we serve not His purpose as Lord. When we continue to reject Him as Lord. And when we say we will not have this man to reign over us. The psalmist, he says, kiss the Son, lest He be angry and ye perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Kiss the Son. Oh, that we may seek that He would be Lord also by virtue of purchase. Because when that mediator shall become our Lord by virtue of purchase. And when we shall become His property, then we shall receive everything, both for time and for eternity. Then we shall begin to worship Him. We'll begin to worship Him by moments in imperfection here below in this world. And soon, as Lord, as Creator, but also as Redeemer, then His property, and they shall cast their crowns before Him forever and forever. Or will we also be among them? Amen. O Lord, we confess Thy Lordship every day again, so unknowingly, and yet we serve Thee not. Our guilt that rises as high as the heavens, oh, that Thou wouldst deliver us, that Thou Thyself also wouldst deliver us from sin, from walking in the ways of sin, from the dominion of sin, that we may be made Thy own property. Lord, there is no man that of himself will desire this, but Thou art able to give it in our hearts. Look on us then, young and old together. Bring us safely to our places. Remember us in the week to come. Help each one in our place, in our labors, in the home, in this world, in school. Remember those who hope to be united in that bond of holy matrimony, that Thou Thyself may bless them. And wilt Thou keep us all from sin, from a sudden and an unprepared death? Help us as a consistory also, and when we hope to meet once again in this week, forgive what was amiss before Thee this hour. Bless Thy word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 4, 1, 2, 4, and 5. Oh, wherefore do the nations rage, and kings and rulers strive in vain against the Lord of earth and heaven to overthrow Messiah's reign? 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 4.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.